I want to share from a poem by my friend Mirabai Starr. This is the book is called Mother of God, Similar to Fire, and so is the poem. Mother of God, similar to fire, ignite my heart in prayer. Where once I stood on familiar ground, selecting my spiritual experiences like choice morsels from a well-tended larder. Now my garden has gone up in flames. And I thirst only for the living God. Let me find him, Mother, as you do, deep inside my ripened being. Let me swallow the sacred and burn with that presence, illuminating a way home to the truth lit from within. Let my blazing heart become a sanctuary for the weary traveler until this long night lifts and down unfolds, excuse me, and dawn unfolds her new radiance. Seems very appropriate, doesn't it? Yeah. Bradley and I were just sitting on the couch last night going, what do you do? What do you do with all of it? We can't hold it all, right? We're not meant to. That's why we just sang, I surrender all. Because we are meant to give it away, give it over, surrender over and over again. The tears, the love, the grief, all of it. Yeah. Rich, rich times. Jack Kornfield is the founder of Spirit Rock, and he spoke there yesterday, and he said, don't let the terror going on in the world colonize your heart. Yeah. I love that he used that word. That idea, because we can all kind of relate to that idea of that kind of imperialistic, authoritarian taking over, right? Territorializing. Don't let it happen to your heart. Don't even give a little piece of it away to the colonizing idea of fear and terror. And why not? Because God is here all the time. We say it every week, right? There is only one power and one presence. And it is the all-loving goodness of God. And that is here too, even when we may be seeing other things. There is great beauty in difficulty, great poetry in difficulty. We're in our third week of the series on sacred activism. And if you're just joining us, I want to invite you to follow along in the bulletin, maybe pick up the book, The Hope, The Guide to Sacred Activism by Andrew Harvey. It's in our bookstore. There are discussion questions in your bulletin every week, so you can discuss them with a friend or partner or journal the answers as you read along. The chapters are also in the bulletin. And so this week we are talking about divine practice and surrender. And really, surrender is woven into our practice. But we'll talk a little bit about that, about both of those. Andrew Harvey names the practices cool practices and warm practices. And at first I thought, interesting. Why? You know? But actually, as I've been reflecting on it, I like that he sort of categorized them that way, because I think it can help us know what practices to reach for at different times. And maybe for those of us who meditation has been a base practice for us, a cool practice like meditation, that we might, in these times that are calling for the embodiment of spirit at a greater level and the opening of the heart at a larger level, the warm practices and the body practices may be things that we really need to incorporate into our work in grounding ourselves and in remembering who we are and what we're about and how we truly then can serve from that place of understanding of who we are and what we're about and how we can be truly God in action, right? God in the world, the divine that I am. So a cool practice like meditation, of course, gives us a sense of peace, it gives us a sense of mental clarity, maybe some guidance and insight, and those are all things we don't want to let go of course. But also Harvey forewarns us a little bit of the cool practices and the temptation that we might succumb to in the cool practices is that it can become what he says is a drug to mask the agony of the world and the urgent need that there is for action in the world. And so we can kind of trick ourselves into that all is well. And all is well. I mean, that's the thing. So there is this understanding, as the prosperity teacher Edwin Gaines once said, look about the world and see what needs to be healed and put all of your love and attention and energy and action into that, all the while knowing nothing at all needs to be healed and everything is perfect and whole. So it is a holding of the knowing of spirit and the absolute reality, because in the absolute reality, everything is whole and well and perfect and abundant and healed. Nothing to fix. And in the relative reality, we see and experience something else. Contrast, right? Difficulty, constriction, fear, uncertainty, all of those things. And so it's not hiding behind the cool practices and the serenity and the peace that come from them, but allowing ourselves to practice those things, to fully feel that peace, to bring forth that sense of inner serenity and a knowing that all is well, and at the same time to also engage the warmer practices of heart-centered types of things, like chanting, like we've done a little bit of that today, or singing. Singing is another very nice warm practice. It's a kind of practice that poetry, reading and writing poetry, can bring forth that sense of emotionality connected with spirit. So it's that heart open, that broken open heart, that is also engaged in the process and something that's really called for now in our times. Part of that embodied spirituality, that mother energy. And so it's the warm and the cool together. And so considering for yourself then at any given time, which practices am I needing now? If you've always been calm, cool, collected, meditator, and that's your practice, consider dancing. You know, do something completely different. Mix it up a little bit so you can get a different kind of movement, a different kind of opening to spirit, a different sense of the grounding on the earth. Body practices are another one that he talks about. And body practices like Tai Chi and Qigong and yoga are wonderful ways to use our conscious mind, our breath, and our awareness of energy to be really grounded. That's important right now, to feel really grounded. You know, so going out on the earth and barefoot or lying down and having connection with the earth is really another way that we can sort of allow the body, the sacredness of the body, to be connecting with our practices. Anybody ever said, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself, or I'm falling behind, or I'm beside myself? Yeah. That is actually a statement of some kind of truth that is a call to your awareness to recognize you're not in your body. So your energetic body and your physical body are in two different places when you say those things. If I'm always running to catch up, it's like, oh, there goes my energetic body. I'm getting a little woo-woo today, just a little warning. Yeah, why not? We're all friends here, right? So my sister and I have this simpatico spiritual relationship, even though we have different churches and different, she introduced me to Unity, but now she's Methodist, and you know, just we have different sort of paths in some ways, but there was always this sort of simpatico thing that goes on every so often. And I couldn't believe it the other day, because a couple weeks ago, I could feel as if my energy, like my energetic body, was hovering like a right about from my knees up, and it's like it wasn't going all the way down. And I thought, well, this is really weird. I'm not fully in, you know? And she happened to call, and we were talking, and she said, you know, I had this craniosacral treatment, and my therapist always says your energy is like right about at your knees on up. And I thought, oh gosh, really? Like twin experience. So what do you do when you recognize that? Well, you do more grounding practices, you know, using the breath, visualization, again, the earth. You know, it allows us to be here now because spirit would have it no other way. That's why we're here in form, so that God can know itself and know where we get, you know, off track, which we seem to be doing a lot of lately as a collective. But we here are all on this journey and this path to bring more of the divine into the world. What a great calling that we have. If you ever doubted for a minute what your purpose was on earth, believe me, you have been fully called now. And whether you know exactly how that looks does not at all matter, because all the work that you've done up to this point, and I know a lot of you have done a lot of spiritual work, a lot of inner work, a lot of personal growth, lots of prayer, lots of meditation, every kind of seminar and book you can think of, right? Right? I know you, because I'm like you. I've been there too. And so now it's time to bring it out, you know, to just be it. And to keep our practices alive so that we stay thriving and grounded and cared for, so that we can be that light in the world, to shine it brightly wherever we go. That's really the call of sacred activism, and the practices are key, because the practices are for us, and our practices are also an offering. Prayer is a great example. Prayer is a great example of both a warm and a cool practice, something that is for us and for everyone, as is really all the practices. But prayer is warm and cool in that if we think of affirmative prayer, which we practice in Unity and New Thought, that affirmative prayer has a coolness about it in that it's grounded in principle, right? It's God as principle. You can call it it. It's impersonal. It's not the mother, father, God. It's not the beloved God. It's the it. it's the thing, the law that always is true. It's like scientific law. And so that presence of God is permeating the earth. It's everywhere, present, in us, all around us. It's like a principle that we stand on, right? It is a principle we stand on. And so that kind of affirmative prayer that calls forth the truth, that sees the truth and only knows the truth, that's the cool practice of prayer and solid, right? We have that solid foundation. We think about the Fillmores, our founders, and others in New Thought. There's a real solid foundation of faith. When we stand on principle like that, when we call up the truth, the wholeness, the health that I am or that my friend is, and we see that truth about them. I have a friend that's going through cancer right now, and I don't see the hospital bed and the gown. I see somebody who's strong and vital and connected, you know, because that's who I know her to be. And so we can do that for each other. We can see that truth of ourselves and each other, you know, and that's affirmative prayer. But then there's also the feeling, right? The emotion to it, the juice to the prayer. Because if it's just principle without the feeling, it's like an empty platitude. Sounds good, but it's a mental concept. It's not until we put the heart and the body and the wholeness and the feeling nature into it that we say, oh yeah, that's the prayer. When I feel for the people that I'm praying for in the fires, and I also hold a vision for the truth of what can be and what is coming forth for them, that's the power of prayer. That's affirmative prayer in action, warm and cool. It's our whole being. We become the prayer. We ourselves are the prayer. One of the study groups, you know, the study groups are also service groups that are going on right now around this book. And one of the groups this week called all the Unity connections that they had in our Northern Bay to say, how's it going? You know, what can we do for you? How can we help you? You know, what can we offer to you? And time again, what they were asked was prayers to calm the winds. That's it. Prayers to calm the winds. We can do that, right? And as the Native Americans would say, it's not praying for calm, it's praying calm. And so we become the calm. If we're all frenetic and we just say some words of calm, do you think that's going to translate? So it's us being the calm. So first we get really in the cool of the calm, if you will, the calm, cool, collected. And then we can offer, you know, like Jesus did, peace be still in the wild storms, and the seas got quiet. And know that I am is the second part of that. And so as we pray, we know who we are, that we're standing in that principle, and we're feeling it, and we know it, and we're feeling the faith and the strength and the power of that and the presence of that, and we couldn't be more rooted into the earth in those moments or stronger. Nothing can bowl us over, like that exercise we did a couple weeks ago where you pressed on each other's shoulder. And the first time you did it, it was like, oh, I'm really off balance. And the second time, after people grounded and used the energy to flow through their body, they said, wow, I feel really strong. I feel really confident. I feel like I can't be just bowled right over. That's the point. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to find the breath and find the energy and ground ourselves and bring our energy also into our hearts and feel. So we can hold out a vision of what's possible, you know. What I'm visioning right now in the areas that have been ravaged by fire is spring, you know. Green grass and new growth and flowers and renewal of the earth. You know, when a volcano happens, that earth that comes out of the volcano, that soil is virgin soil that comes from the burn, right? And so if we can see new possibilities and new growth, we can hold that vision out before us. And Harvey talks about surrendering the outcome. So when we have a vision, we hold it with an open hand, right? So that's the vision that I'm holding with an open hand. I'm not holding it like this. It doesn't have to look exactly like I think I want it to look. It's just it's an offering. It's a vision. And so we hold that vision out, and then we let it go, you know? We just let it go. Om Shanti over the land, you know? That oh, the beautiful om we did together. It was just like, oh, I can still feel it. And it's just, send it out, you know? There it goes, over the land, healing the people, healing the homes, healing the loss, the grief, and feeling it. Yeah. The sorrow. In knowing there is a season of spring that comes again, always. So knowing that, holding that, doing our practices so that we can remember that. Jack Kornfield also told a story about one of his teachers was in Cambodia during the time of great genocide. His name is Mahu Gosanada. And Mahu Gosanada, right after everything that had happened, this great genocide, he didn't really know what to do, as a lot of us may be asking ourselves, what shall I do? He built just this little simple temple out of what he could find, and it was like, had a little tin roof, and it was sort of an open temple, and he made a little altar, and he just invited the survivors of the genocide to come and be together. And he didn't know what to offer them. And he didn't know that anybody would come, because it was actually kind of dangerous at that point, they thought, for them to come out in public like that to this place to worship. But he didn't know. So he just offered it. And 25,000 people showed up. And then he thought, whoa, what do I do now? So he just prayed about what was his to do. And what he did was he began to lead a chant in his language, which translated in English to, hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. Hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. And all those people, he could look out and he could see and knew, you know, this one is standing there with her niece, this grandparent with her niece, because they're the only two left out of a huge extended family. This one just lost all 19 members of their family, and this, you know, and so on. Just that kind of unbearable, you know, seemingly, this is the thing, seemingly unbearable. But it's not. Because we've got God. We've got the spirit of our beings and the allness of God. Thanks God. Thanks be to that teaching. Because sometimes we need the allness of God, right? We need the mother, the father, the God we can just imagine putting our arms around, the bigness of that energy. And so let it all be. There's not one way for us to call this kind of thing in. So Gosananda was, he called him, Jack Kornfield calls him the Gandhi of Cambodia. And he continued to do this. He continued to lead the refugees after the genocide all through their land, all through the killing fields, chanting that chant. So you can imagine that falling through the land. Hatred never ceases by hatred, but by love alone is healed. And allowing the people not to go to a place of retaliation, but to bring forth the love and the peace. Chanting is a sacred practice. It's a heart practice. You couldn't possibly chant that in the place that those people were in and not be fully in the heart. So there's lots of other practices, you know, body practices I've mentioned. Dance is a great way to just be joyful and allow yourself to feel your body and your breath and the movement and lose yourself a bit, maybe in the movement and the music. And there's also, I'm looking around to see if we have enough room because I'd like to share a Tai Chi practice with you. I think I'll go ahead and, why not, let's go for it. You want about arm's length apart. So if you'd like to do this, I invite you to stand. It's just a body prayer. A friend of mine who's a Tai Chi teacher shared this. So you want to have your feet about shoulder width apart and your knees are kind of soft, so just a slight bend. Your hips are tilted a bit forward, which elongates your spine. You imagine a cord coming up through the top of your head that's kind of pulling your neck. So in your head upwards so you have a strong stance, and also a cord going down through your body into the earth, also grounding you in the earth. And so my friend Mary Cruz put the words to this ancient Tai Chi practice, I Chi King, it's called. And so I'll just do the motions, you can follow along with the motions, and I'll speak the words as we go. The sun is beginning to rise. The first rays can be seen on the horizon. Push open the temple gates. Open them wider for a better view. Sink the energy into the earth. Draw the energy up through your body and give it out to the heavens. Feel the energy cascading all around you. Gather the energy. Move the energy. Store the energy. So let's try that again. The sun is beginning to rise. The first rays can be seen on the horizon. Push open the temple gates. Open them wider for a better view. Sink the energy into the earth. Allow the energy to rise through your body, spilling out into the heavens, cascading all around you. Gather the energy. Move the energy. Store the energy. And so this last time that we do this together, let's just know that this is a part of the rebirth of the energy all around us on our earth. The sun is beginning to rise. The first rays can be seen on the horizon. Push open the temple gates. Open them wider for a better view. Sink the energy into the earth. Bring the energy up through your body and release it to the heavens. Feel the cascading energy of love and healing as you gather it to you, as you move it deeper into your being, as you store it and use it wisely. Thank you. In all these practices together, I think the poet Kabir sums it up best. My father is the transcendent absolute. My mother is the embodied Godhead. And I am the divine child, dancing in the burning ground of life with a father's peace and the mother's wild love. That's us. So my wish for you is to take good care of yourselves. Really, really, take good care of yourselves. Keep breathing, keep doing your practices, and just show up as shiny you in the world. That alone suffices. God alone suffices, is what Saint Teresa said. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. God alone is changeless. God alone suffices. Let's close out with this affirmation. Together, I am an ardent prayer and passionate dreamer, giving over to Spirit again and again. So it is.